Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are awaiting D'Amico Ryans getting ready to address the media here on a Reaction Tuesday. John Lopez, Reginald Attula, Figgy Fig here hanging out with you. And Lopez, I've been kind of, obviously I was saluted rather, Danielle Hunter for reaching the 100 career sacks mark. And someone on the text line has taken issue with that just because they felt like, hey, man, the defensive line, they gave up a whole bunch of yards. I do think that there were instances where those rushers were going too deep, like their pass rush was too deep. But I thought those were more on passing downs. If we're talking about the run game, I'm more thinking about the interior D-line and really the linebacker staying at depth and not triggering and getting upfield nearly in the ways that it feels like they do historically. You think I'm right there, or are you maybe more in line with the texter?
No, I'm not necessarily fully in line with what he said, but it does make sense, and it does add in. I was pointing out to you in the press box midway through the second quarter, you know, the linebacker depth all of a sudden got a little deeper because the Baker Mayfield and their script and their first quarter passing game and the play action kind of had them thinking a little bit on their heels. So there was that, you know, the linebacker depth and coming up. There was the interior defensive line. And I think a lot of times the ends, as awesome as they were, Neil Hunter and Will Anderson, they're running themselves up the field a little bit too much. And that was a big time, you know, factor in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it felt like they, like maybe D'Amico and Matt Burke made the decision of
go get him.
Late in the game, we're just letting you go get him. And then that really
and then
bit
what was
them
Baker Mayfield
where
doing?
Baker starts finding those seams to run at. I honestly do wonder if that was a conscious decision by the coaching staff to try and just let those guys go, and it ultimately bit them into keister.
I agree.
Either way, it's very much problematic, and it's something that needs to be fixed because you can't afford to have quarterbacks being able to just run up on you and pick up yards like that, especially like on a 4th and 10 that happened there.
No question about it. This defense is, you know, we talked about, you know, what's most frustrating. That's why the defense was really frustrating to me. Just because that was the most unexpected thing, you know, you could have had. I mean, we're talking even in against the Rams, you know, like, okay, they played well enough to win. The defense did not play well enough to win yesterday.
No, they had opportunities to win it with a few singular plays on top of all of the things that we were talking about. They ultimately didn't end up coming through in that way. We're obviously about to hear from D'Amico. Him as head coach, because we're talking about him in kind of the defense coordinator position, and I know that him as head coach ends up being a huge talking point of late. What were your thoughts on him there? Because there was a few decisions that he made that people questioned, including going for it on that fourth down when you couldn't get in on the zone run, and then that double move to Nico Collins. Would you have kicked it? Did you have any issue with him deciding to go with his offense and try and punch it in on fourth down?
Not to waffle, because I absolutely, you know, admired the aggression. But it's retrospect. In retrospect, that field goal would have been enormous, you know, potentially enough to win the game. That's where I am. And I think that's one of those where you really do, it's more second guessing than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first guessing is when you feel, all right, he should do it, he shouldn't do it. And I felt pretty good with it as it happened.
I think I'm with you there. Yeah. I think it's more frustrating that you end up in a situation where you can't get that in. And especially, you never give any look like you might run the football.
Mm-hmm.
You're in shotgun. You give them an opportunity
to
stay back. And on top of that, you have this, you have this sprint out and cut the field in half. But also, I think there's even a way where you can maybe do that, but you should have someone leak out to the other side so that if CJ needs to, there's someone across the field. It's not always the most advantageous look, but if you're running the entire of the defense one way, leak it out to the other way. I don't know. That might be one of the things that D'Amico Ryans is asked about as he speaks to the media. Let's hear that now.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Now that you've reviewed the tape and some of the players were talking in the locker room about tackling, and obviously you coach tackling, you have pursuit drills, you all those things. What do you do to reinforce when guys that normally make tackles are missing tackles? Thank you.
And for us, as we look back at the tape and see, you know, tackling was the key issue for us. And I felt like we tackled really well the first week. It hasn't changed on how you tackle. It always starts with me first and foremost with, hey, one, it's the want to. Right, is putting yourself in position and wanting to get the guy down. You want to get him down bad enough, you'll get him down. Then it comes to technique. Like, are you wrapping and squeezing and taking the guy down to the ground, or are we just throwing a shoulder out there? And a couple times that's what happened. We're just throwing a shoulder thinking we're just going to knock a guy down, which is not the case, knowing the type of runner that Bucky Irvin was. Really great contact balance, and that's something we talked about all week, how good of a player he was on initial contact and how it would take everyone swarming, wrapping him up to get him down. And we didn't do that. So that led to a lot of plays, especially there late on the drive. Even we're there to tackle Baker Mayfield. Right? We don't make the tackle. All right. And go to the back. We don't make the tackle on the back a couple times. And that gets them further down the field, right, on that last series. It's nothing grand that they did. They made plays. We didn't tackle well. We didn't make the plays that we are supposed to make.
Hey, Meek. To that point as well, like, are you able with the rules in the NFL to work on tackling, or do you just have to preach it? Like, or can you actually practice it?
Yeah, great question, Will. We do work. We work tackling. We put the pad. You get an opportunity to put the pads on once a week. And every time we have the pads on, we're working tackling. We're emphasizing tackling on special teams and also in our defensive drills. We have different tackling stations that we're working. And it's an emphasis as we are in practice and that one time a week that we do have pads on. It's always, you know, emphasized to the guys to make sure we're securing, wrapping the ball carry and allow, and then let him go and let him finish.
D'Amico, good afternoon. Did you expect the struggles like this for the offense this early, being that it was new under Nick Caley, or are these struggles far greater than what you expected?
Yeah, for what we're doing offensively, defensively, man, we're not far away. So I'm not in the mode of where, hey, it's doom and gloom. Like, we're not far away. We're close. I think we made a lot of strides in this game. On yesterday, we did a lot of positive things that we did well. Of course, there are always things, issues, and things you can correct, but it's not far off. Right? We got to make the plays we're supposed to make, but we're pressing forward. I mean, we're looking forward to Jacksonville to see how we can clean this thing up and get it moving.
Next, we'll go to Sarge, Landry, and then Cody.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Hey, good afternoon.
One of the positive things that came out of the game last night was that Daniil Hunter recorded his 100th sack. I think he became the 15th player to do that in 136 games. Can you just talk about the effectiveness that Daniil has had, not only on the field, but off the field as well, as far as the players are concerned?
Hey, Daniil is, first off, congratulations to him. Hey, to reach such an incredible feat, it's an honor just to be working alongside him, right, and seeing how he works at his craft every day. He's a special man, special young man, and I'm thankful to be around him. He does a really good job of just playing with the relentless motor, as you saw in the game. He gave us a chance by getting after the quarterback, beating his man, rushing with extension, doing the things that we asked about, making plays on the screen. Like, he was all over the field, right? And I'm proud of him for this accomplishment. And he does a really great job, Sarge, you said, not only on the field but off the field. Like, his communication, his rapport with the guys in the locker room, he's a guy that a lot of guys lean on and they look up to just for how he carries himself. And so I'm thankful to have him on our team, thankful that he's a Houston guy, and being here in Houston means a lot to him. So it's always great coaching a guy like that.
Thank you.
Landry, go ahead.
Coach, with the offensive line, what are some ways that the offensive line can be helped, whether it's players that are not offensive linemen or coaches, to help make sure that blocks get picked up or plays are able to be executed instead of just relying on the offensive line to block the guy in front of them?
All right, so first and foremost, if you're offensive lineman, you have to block the guy in front of you. There's nothing nobody can do to help you with that. It's the NFL, so got to start there, Landry. You got to block the guy in front of you. Nobody's helping with that. And a couple plays on, we talk about protection and what happened in the game. A couple plays, we got beat. We just got beat one-on-one. Our guard, we got beat one-on-one on the edge as well versus a blitzer. So in the NFL, and for me, and what I teach, it's like, if you want to win games, you have to dominate your one-on-one. Everybody in every game, you're going to be left in a one-on-one matchup, whatever that looks like, offensively, defensively, special teams. That's what the NFL is about, winning your one-on-one. And the guys who win those one-on-ones consistently are the better players in the NFL. So just, you got to dominate your one-on-one.
D'Amico, have you noticed any hesitancy from C.J. Stroud to maybe take what he's seeing out there at the quarterback spot, maybe a little bit of a gun-shy nature from what he has done when he's been successful?
Yeah, overall, Cody, offensively, for our offense, just all 11 guys, it's C.J., it's receivers, it's everybody. You got to play better, right? And C.J. knows that he has to play better. There were some plays that we left out there that I know he can make. Right, when it comes to some throws, come to some decision-making, things that he can make and do better. And that's for all of us. We're all in this together. We all have things to clean up, and nobody's excluded from that. Right? It's a team-first mentality. We're going to stay a team. But for us to take the strides we want to take and press forward, all of us have to look internally, and we have to get better.
Next, we'll go to Kim, Cole, and then Aaron.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. How do you balance, you talk about how you're not that far away, but also with a sense of urgency to correct some of these things, these little things that become big problems. How do you balance that? I know it's early, but how do you balance that?
Yeah, thanks, Cam. I go all in on, like, just showing guys, like, first off, how close we are, right? We're driving down there in the game versus the Rams in the fourth quarter. Got an opportunity. Hey, we don't protect the ball. That opportunity is squandered, right? We're here fourth quarter defensively. Like, it's fourth and 10. We got a free player to make a tackle on the quarterback. We got to make the tackle on the quarterback, and the game is over. So we're talking about, that's what the game, that's the NFL, and that's the beauty of it. That's why it's so much coverage. That's why everybody loves it, right? It comes down to those critical moments. And as players, as coaches, you have to embrace those moments. We don't shy away from those moments. We embrace those moments, and you want to be in that moment. You want to be that guy to make that play to help your team win the game, right? And that's what it looks like. So for us, hey, this is what happened. Like, the film doesn't lie. This is what happened. This is what the film says, who we are, what we're doing. Now, let's have a sense of urgency to, hey, get those things corrected and press forward. But it's not a ton of things. It's the little things. We talk about technique. We talk about decision-making. We're talking about tackling, right? We talk about all the little things that we control, that we can fix. And I'm excited to see what it looks like moving forward.
Thanks.
More, D'Amico, with it being a short week and having to turn your attention towards a divisional game, just what have your early what have your early thoughts been on Jacksonville and the new offense underneath Liam Cohen?
Yeah, early thoughts is, man, we're playing pretty much the same offenses that we've seen the first 2 weeks. I know Liam was under McVay there, and he ran the offense in Tampa for the past few years, so we've been watching that offense all last week. So it's pretty similar structure-wise of what they'll do offensively. Now, and honestly, it's really not about them and what they do. It's for us, like making sure we're just on what we need to be on. But we'll see some of the same things when it comes to the screen game, first and foremost. No, it's going to be a high screen game. ETN, one of the best players. You talk about explosive running back, running the ball in the passing game, does a really nice job there. So we got to be aware of the screen game. We know Trevor is an athlete. He can extend plays as well. Also has a really nice arm. He can sling the ball downfield, throw the ball in tight windows. It's got to be on it there. Got to account for, you know, there are two receivers. Brian Thomas, one of the really great young receivers in our game, has a really bright future ahead of him. And you throw Travis Hunter in the mix as well, how they're using him. So, again, as every week, we have our hands full. Liam has done a really nice job there turning it around in Jacksonville very quickly. See how the guys are responding. They're playing good defensively as well. They're taking the ball away defensively, which is giving them a chance. And also defensively, I know from their D coordinator, I know we're going to – and what we put on tape, we're going to see, right, a lot of different pressures from these guys on third down. So we got to be dialed into picking up the pressures, making sure we have the right checks, proper communication when it comes to that, because we'll get tested when it comes to the pressures.
Hey, D'Amico, and with it'd be my birthday. It wouldn't be my birthday if I wasn't asking an injury question. Just kidding. do you guys have an update on the progress of Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios? Thank you.
Hey, man, happy birthday, Aaron.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. We expect Christian and Berrios, both guys, been doing really well, progressing well in their rehab, so we'll see how it goes throughout the week, but expecting to get those guys back this week.
We've got time for a couple more. We'll do Jonathan, Sarge, and then Landry.
D'Amico, seemed like Jalen Noel really made some plays there at kick return. What did you make of that? And do you anticipate possibly using him more in the passing game as well?
I was very excited and happy for Jalen with the plays that he made, knowing he was capable of doing that. It's just a matter of him going out and, you know, showing it, proving it to everyone else. And, you know, man, he's an electric player, and I expect him to continue to make plays like that for us. It's a collective effort. I thought the guys blocked really well on special teams and gave him the opportunity to make those plays. So, I mean, I expect Jalen to continue to progress as our returner. He's shown that he can do a fantastic job of it. So we're going to continue to lean into that.
Coach, I know that you're the type of coach who doesn't, you know, always like to look over your player's shoulders, don't always like to look over your coach's shoulders. You feel like they know that their job, they know what they're supposed to do. But we're two games in, and some of the same things are being brought up as far as the offense is concerned with Nick Caley that was with Bobby Slowick. How much do you involve yourself into the offense as far as players, personnel, and things like that are concerned?
Yeah, great question, Sarge. Yeah, I'm involved in it all. It all ultimately falls on me, right? So I'm involved with it all. And for our offense, for our defense, I don't want to make it just an offensive thing. It's just, man, we got to play better. Like, we had opportunities to make plays. And they had opportunities to make plays on the other side. They made plays. We didn't make plays, right? As coaches, it's our job to put guys in positions to make the plays, and it's the player's job to go make those plays. It's a collective effort. We're in this together, players and coaches. So it's not just about one person here or there. We're all in this together. It's shared responsibility, shared accountability, and we're going to do everything we can to get it going in the right direction.
Thank you.
Going back to the Noel thing, what are the biggest challenges for rookies like Noel, Marks, and Higgins to earn coaches' trust and perhaps get more reps on offense?
Yeah, for when it comes to getting the reps and earning trust, I mean, those guys, they have our trust, right? They have our trust. All three guys have shown throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, that they can be playmakers for us. So Noel, Woody, and Higgins all have done a really nice job as rookies at stepping in and doing what's asked of them. So, you know, when you do it well, you'll continue to get more opportunities.
We'll close with Will and then Kim.
Meek, what did you see from Nick in week two that you didn't see in week one that you thought maybe was an improvement somewhere specific?
What you said with Chubb?
No, sorry, with Kaylee, Nick Kaylee.
Oh, okay, with Kaylee. Well, I thought the improvement from week one to week two is just with the communication and how we got the calls in much quicker. Our guys were able to get out of the huddle. You felt the urgency, like the tempo of our guys in and out of the huddle. Like, we got our calls in. Guys were able to get to the line of scrimmage. We weren't pressing there as the play clock was going down. So I thought Nick did a much better job of just dialing it down a little bit and making sure, hey, we had plays that we can call, we can get executed really well. I thought we did a really nice job of that.
Hey, Coach, one of the things CJ talked about last night, he said clearly that they have to play better, but he also talked about in getting more confidence in the offense. He didn't say he wasn't confident, but he talked about confidence with the offense. How do you address that? So that this, you know, this, that's probably part of it, I guess, because it's new. How do you address that?
Yeah, for me, Kim, I address is, are we doing what we're coached to do? Like, that's what it all boils down to. How do you gain confidence, right? Well, you have to earn confidence. And you earn confidence by doing things well. And when you do things well, you have success. Like, you hit a couple plays here or there, then you're going to get confidence, right? And that's what it's just continue to stay after it. Don't make it bigger than what it is, right? Let's execute what we're asked to execute. Do things how we're coached to do it. And then that confidence will definitely start to pick up.
That's all we got. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, all right. Coach. Thank you, guys. Have a great
day. Appreciate it.
There you go. D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, talking to the Assemble Media. Real quick before we break here, what was the biggest thing that lingers with you? Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that obviously on a day like today we want to get into.
Not necessarily specifically what he said, but I just have a hunch that the messaging behind the doors, behind closed doors and in the locker room is vastly different from what he was telling us, because he was pretty vague. Pretty much it's all about us. It's the team. Pretty much the same offense we're talking about, the same talking points. I don't think he's going to be telling the offense the same thing with the problems we saw.
Well, he did get are we doing what we're coached to do, which very much feels like, hey, guys, on the lowest level, on the player level, you got to go out and make plays, play mm-hmm. better. That all seems to track. There's a lot of things happening here. They seem to be all, hey, we got to stick together and pull in the same direction. Man, there's a lot there that I imagine we'll still continue to get to here in Loop. Coming up next, though, let's get to our lunchtime confessions. I imagine they might take a little bit of a Texans tinge, but stick with us. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were doing my confessions during the break there. I was like, hey, that's my idea, Figgy. Okay, so here it is. And it's starting to make more rounds on the social medias. When this play happened, when Nick Chubb scored on a, was it 25-yard run? I think.
It was 25. I'm sorry. I was thrown off by you saying medias, and I really wanted to be a jerk that goes, you know, media is plural,
no,
right?
I did that on purpose.
Okay, good.
It was for effect, cowboy.
From the All right, we're going to fight after the show. Don't worry about
it. Y'all got it, boss.
It was for effect, cowboy. On the social medias.
Are you done?
Yes. Okay, so there's something going around. But keep in mind, when he scored on that 25-yard run, whatever
right,
it was.
You're right, 25.
25. The Texans, he only had 32 yards rushing total to that point.
Is that good?
Not good.
Okay.
And there are people saying Todd Bowles, brilliant coach, actually instructed his defense to let the Texans score there so they could be guaranteed to get the ball back with a chance to win or tie, depending on the two-point conversion. I think, I don't know, my math is bad. But anyway, and at first when I saw that, well, my first confession is I didn't even consider that as I'm watching the game. I didn't even consider. I thought it was just a really good play. Finally, you know, Nick Chubb. I think one of my notes was, you know, Nick Chubb just in the nick of time.
He went through clean, too, man.
Clean.
Harrison Bryant had a really good seal on that play. Which
did he?
If you want to be someone who goes, nah, they let that happen. You have Harrison Bryant out here looking
Nick Chubb wasn't touched.
He went, Vita Vea kind of threw his arms up like, oh, I missed him. You know, like, oh, my bad. My first part of the confession.
I'm not seeing the Vita Vea hands go up. He's too old.
I didn't even see it. Consider it. My second one is starting to kind of lean. I'm starting to kind of lean that way, man.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the situation to where they
were. 2 minutes and 15 seconds left. Yeah. Three timeouts.
And what was the score? The score was.
Before that.
Because they
play,
they probably would have ran the time down a little bit.
It was 14-13 Tampa.
Yes. And then before with that score, it goes to 19-14. Obviously, they go for two and don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of sounded about right, to be honest.
It sounds about right. I'm starting to lean that way.
Yeah, because the Texans definitely would have bleed the clock down. They would have used.
No, you had no shot.
Tampa probably would have used their timeouts, mm-hmm. and they would have had way less time. So it kind of makes sense.
How many timeouts did Tampa have?
They still had three timeouts.
Yeah, all three
timeouts and the 2 point,
and the 2 minute. But they would have burned those timeouts.
A first down would have.
Yeah, they would have burned those timeouts. They would have maybe gone through. Well, they would have gone through the 2 minute.
Unless the Texans were just foolishly just throwing the ball and dropping it and were stopping the time and all that.
I'm telling you, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. And by the way, if he really did this. As much as Todd Bowles is getting a lot more credit as a very good, if not great, coach, give him more credit because ultimately it was brilliant if that was the case.
The logic lines up. It does line up. But just looking at the play, if this was indeed a let him score like off the jump,
mm-hmm.
we got to get these boys into some acting classes and some opportunities for some plays or some movies. Them boys looked like they were running – a play. The only one that I can maybe say is first and foremost, you go, was it Logan Hall? No, it's actually Deion Jones, linebacker. He allows himself to go and get sealed off pretty
easily. He really does. I was
pretty easily by Harrison Bryant.
I've watched this like 15 times in the last.
And you know the other thing is,
and
too.
The other one real quick is Antoine Winfield. Very, very deep.
Just kind of.
He doesn't get it. I mean, once Chubb gets him from the angle, he really lets up once Chubb hits about the 7 yard line.
He's like jogging.
Those are the two things, two guys that I look at and I go, all right, maybe. Other than that, it looks like they're playing.
The crazy thing is, the first when I thought about it after the fact, probably this morning, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, damn, maybe Chubb should have just sat down at the 1 yard line. But I'm like, damn, they couldn't even get in from the 1 yard line earlier. I don't even know about that. I'm thinking like, damn, maybe they should have took the touchdown and just play defense.
It's interesting to me. I mean, it has some markings.
I mean, if this defense is anything of what you believe it to be coming into the season, you take your points on the offensive side for Nick Chubb. You go, you get in, and you believe that your defense is capable of holding the other team out of the end zone. I think the best case scenario that I can give you on this theory is the Bucs go, if they're able to pick up the first down, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go up here and we're still going to try and
play. And Winfield had a good angle if you look at that.
But once
about
once
the 5 yard line, he could have taken him down.
Right. So maybe that's what it is.
And there's like, okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We just played D'Amico Ryans, or we rather had D'Amico Ryans live, and I gotta admit, something he said makes me feel real sick in the same way as last year. He was talking. D'Amico Ryans was talking about how they're close, just a couple plays being made wins them this football game, and it really frustrates me because that's not the process-driven approach that we have been told that this organization has. And it feels a lot like last year when early on in the season, you're like, oh, but they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of it looks ugly and there's issues within it. But they're like, yeah, but we won the game. And, you know, just tough teams win games. That's results-oriented. And I think you can go and you can say, hey, we were so close to winning this game. But it's similar to looking at this defense and going, well, they only allow, you know, I mean, they were this close to allowing only 14 points. But then you look up and you go, no, but I'm seeing issues. I'm seeing you get run on consistently. I'm seeing you allow big plays. I'm seeing you overrun your coverage or your ability to tackle and miss tackles. Those are the issues that are big issues if you just take away the take away the numbers. You take away the box score and you just go, these are things that I'm seeing. You wouldn't say, oh, well, this is great defense.
Yes.
But then you look up and you go, well, yeah, but they only gave up a couple of touchdowns. And you go, oh, all right, well, we were close.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a big issue that I'm seeing with D'Amico. That feels like last year and how I felt last year trying to say, yeah, they're getting these wins. However, these issues that ultimately came up and bit you in the butt later in the season.
Yeah, and I just think it's ridiculous to think that what he told us is what he's telling those guys. Because, you know, C.J. Stroud made some bad plays and some bad throws and some bad reads. You know, defensively, you gave up 169 yards rushing. Come on. I don't care how many touchdowns you gave up or whatever. That's an issue.
Yeah. Very frustrating there. Those are some lunchtime confessions here in the loop from the 713. This is sports radio nonsense. They did not let them score. And then, of course, someone from the other side, 281. Superb clock management by the Bucks. And, of course, some of that is points to the idea of when you're right, all the decisions look great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of whether or not.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of thinking what the coaching staff of the Bucks was saying, like, man, if they get through, let them score. They can't stop y'all.
Yeah.
So if we get the ball back with two plus minutes. Yeah.
That's the other part of it. Makes you look
like
kinda,
let them score.
Makes you look kind of bad.
Yeah.
Not kind of. Makes you look bad.
No, I feel you. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's still a Tuesday. Let's do a little college football on a Tuesday. And I feel an argument brewing between myself and Lopez.
Oh, good.
I'll let you find out what it is next. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's take a little bit of a break from NFL football and do what we typically do on a Tuesday and get a little college football on a Tuesday. Would you like to do this up front? Here, John Lopez.
What are you talking about?
All right. You're going to pretend like you don't play dumb. It's cool. It's cool.
It's cool.
Every Friday. It's fine. Every Friday we do. That's another one. It's cool. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. You got it.
You got it. That's right.
You done?
John Lopez does his, college football headline of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, he was discussing some various things. It's obviously our preview for the weekend.
Yeah.
And you were talking about what could be in Vanderbilt. And who they play again? Clemson? No, that's
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Your guy.
That's right. I'll take him as my guy. Go ahead and give me Lenore Sellers. But Vanderbilt able to get a victory over South Carolina in this game. A huge victory for Vanderbilt, mind you. Generational chains were broken in my mind with a huge victory over South Carolina. Breaks a 16-game losing streak within it. However, you just had to go take it too far.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No,
I didn't. Go ahead and tell
first
me about,
of all,
tell me about what your large takeaway
correct
was.
Correct me
from
if
this
I'm
game.
Wrong. I said a low key potential Heisman game because I think I called it put it on the table Saturday.
You did say that.
And you poo pooed the entire thing.
I did.
Believing that South Carolina would run Vanderbilt out and Lenore Sellers would be the man. Well, how'd that end up?
Well, Lenore Sellers got hurt in the first half.
Oh, it was late in the first half anyway. Like, they were already losing. It was 14-7.
He got hurt in the first half?
They were losing 14-7.
Okay. All right.
And Vanderbilt was taking control. And
the insurmountable 7-point lead in football.
Well, no, I'm just saying you act like he got hurt on the first play.
No.
Yeah.
But it is worth noting, and I did mention this yesterday. Yeah. Was it yesterday? While Sellers was on the field for the 20 plays that he was, mm-hmm. they were averaging 7 yards per play.
Okay.
When he was not on the field for the remainder of the game, 4.4 yards per play as an offense.
Okay.
That is downright mediocre from what is a pretty solid and pretty mm-hmm. good mm-hmm. college offense. Like, those differences are very clear there.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. And I'm not saying I believe Vanderbilt can win football games. The issue I have is not with Vanderbilt winning the football game. I like what Clark Lee's done there, and I like what mm-hmm. Diego Pavia has done there. You had to take it too far because you're like, well,
Diego,
now,
baby.
Now Diego Pavia is some kind of Heisman candidate.
Yeah, and he
the
is.
Hell are you talking about?
He is. So what else does Diego Pavia have to prove to you? Beat Alabama last year. Certainly one of the players that, he's betting his mom. By the way,
that's not helping your case.
I got an update for that story.
Oh, please.
Yeah. It's a little more to that story.
How about throw for 200 yards? Let's start with that. Mm-hmm. Diego Pavia, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception in this mm-hmm. game. Fine, but nothing that goes, he needs to be in the Heisman conversation. This was a defensive win with a quarterback on the other side that is, mm-hmm. probably All-American type level. That is out in that game. Like, this is a lot more. And then I can also take you through various different possession instances. But yeah, no, this is very much more about South Carolina losing their star quarterback in this game.
I totally disagree. Vanderbilt 3-0. Vanderbilt clearly has established themselves. Diego Pavia as Pat 40. I'm looking at right now. We all know Pat 40, the 40-yard dash. He's a college football guru for decades.
It's done this a while. I was going to call him a legend, and that's probably fair
to put up there.
I think
that's not too big of a stretch. Hey, he put in his column, two new Heisman candidates emerged over the weekend. Marcel Reed from at Texas A&M, and who's this guy? That's right, Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt.
That is nonsense. That is utter nonsense.
Okay, I'll have to go with Pat 40 on this one. I'll have to go with Pat 40 on this one. Look, I get what you're saying. I wouldn't bet on him, But what I said...
No, go ahead and do it.
But what I said came true. They established themselves. He put himself further up the list of rankings. I'll put it that way.
I mean, yes, anytime you win, you give yourself more of a chance to be considered.
Not necessarily.
That is correct. Yeah, no. Uh-huh. Every time you win.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you win any football game that is major.
Go ahead and say it, Lopez. Okay, Cowboy.
But regardless, I still give Vanderbilt a lot of credit. This is not a one-year thing.
No.
This was not just a last-year cute thing. This is a Vanderbilt team that's going to nip at heels and really bite you. And South Carolina got a little bit of that. How about the University of Texas only beating UTEP 27-10?
Mm-hmm.
I'd mentioned this. 38.5-point spread coming in. Arch has yet to look good.
He really does. He has yet to look good. I think I mentioned this to you off the air. At the University of Texas, obviously with Arch and all the hype and all that, I'm starting to wonder if there were some promises made to the Mannings about one Arch Manning. Because, you know, he was backing up Quinn Ewers for 2 years, developing, and that's the thing that just irritates me. And
quote,
I'm not,
unquote.
And I'm not even, quote, unquote, developing. And I'm not even a big Longhorns fan, but I love college football in this state. And
so you admit you're a Longhorns fan in there somehow.
I guess maybe a little bit, because I'm pulling for the kid. I want him to lose the Aggies, of course, but I mean, I'm pulling for the kid. When he said on the field, Steve Sarkisian, that I told Arch that you're not really a quarterback until you get booed at home. I thought, who's ever said that? How is that even remotely true? He's starting to sound like a guy that made promises to the man. He's like, I'm going to play Arch, hell or high water, and he's going to be our quarterback. It's interesting.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know how much that's to the Mannings. I think that Sark is trying to do some recruiting through his operation. I think that that's mm-hmm. why Quinn Ewers remained the starter all through last year. While I know a lot of Longhorns fans would have liked them to try Arch at various points, and I think that Quinn Ewers was also the limiting factor that helped keep them from going to what they probably could have reached. I think you're seeing some of that similar with Arch now. Like, mm-hmm. Arch is here, and this is your time, and we're going to give you your time. We're not going to do the thing that some coaches would be, which is now turn to another guy just when you haven't, you know, played well. Admittedly, through a quarter of the season, and pretty much the easiest quarter of the season, they didn't look all that good against UTEP. Like, this is really dicey here with the University of Texas, and particularly with Arch Manning. They've had some injuries. I know Wisner was hurt, and then also Baxter sustained an injury in this game as well. But yeah, this is really scary for Texas, especially at the running back. On the other side, we should be talking about a Texas team that I have not mentioned yet. Mm-hmm. Yo, Texas Tech looks like a really, really
I've got
good
them on my
team.
List. I've got them on my list right here on my CF Boat list. Like, legitimate dark horses to me. I think there are three teams. I think there's questions. Okay, here are my questions in terms of, you know, college football playoff and, you know, making some noise down the road. Let me just ask them of you. Is Alabama back on track?
That's hard to say, man.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'll say yes because you said on track.
But on track for Alabama means that they're the man.
Oh, well, I mean, if we're putting this to Alabama standards,
not yet.
I'm going to need more.
Hell no, if it's Alabama standards.
I'm with you, Figgy, and well, now you as well. Can Notre Dame still make the playoff?
Yes. Yes, they can.
I think so,
but
yes.
Look, it can't be no more losses, and I understand where Sean Pendergast is probably screaming at his radio right now, which is not with that kind of defense.
Yes.
Now, they were very susceptible, and if they're going to remain that porous, they will get enough losses to be out of the consideration. But these are two really close losses, a 3-point loss and a 1-point loss against some
still
solid
ranked.
Teams. Still ranked as they are 0-2 and have yet to put a win on the board yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a level of understanding that this is a very good program and the decision makers will give them the benefit of the doubt, but they're going to need to leg this thing out by getting wins the rest of the way.
Arkansas and USC. Those are the two big games, tests that they have coming up. That's going to decide everything for them. A couple more questions, and I'm going to get to the Texas Tech thing.
Both Arkansas and USC gettable, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Is Missouri a legitimate dark horse?
That's a good one, because I'm going to be honest.
I'm going to say yes.
I didn't keep up with Missouri this weekend.
Yeah. They are extremely talented on the offensive side of the ball.
They do look good.
Yeah.
From what I recall, seeing them through Border War as well, this looks like a pretty well-situated football team.
And then agree or disagree on my other three dark horses. I love these three teams. I mean, not literally like a fan, but I love what they're doing. Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah. Like, I love what Texas Tech is doing, if for no other reason than this is what investment looks like. Like yeah. this might be what this team ultimately comes back to. But yeah, this looks like a fantastic football team. I'm trying to remember, like, all I remember,
they're scoring, like, averaging like 58 points a
game. They
yeah.
beat the mess out of who they were supposed to beat. Yeah. I can't even remember who it was because it doesn't matter. Now they've got a real challenge this week. They get Utah,
yeah,
and Utah is one of those teams that likes bruising and battering you. So we'll see how that stands up. But Tech absolutely looks real.
What about Vanderbilt?
I got to give Vanderbilt their credit, man. Mm-hmm. Now, South Carolina, I also wonder, and I want you to understand, this is separate. We already moved on from the Diego Pavia. I do wonder if they weren't overrated with preseason polling, because the way that they looked in that game, mm-hmm. even outside of their quarterback going down, was a little shaky, especially defensively. And I'm mm-hmm. like, ooh, okay, well, so what are we doing here? Like, yeah. is this Shane Beamer is this whole thing held up by the Lenore Sellers love for being a big, athletic, and capable quarterback?
And U of H, where are they?
They are a defense that looks for real. I want to see it a little bit more against more quality Big 12 competition. But if they're going to be able to run the football and play some defense, you can make some things shake with that.
Yeah, I kind of think so. I could be drinking a little too much U of H Kool-Aid, but... Mm-hmm. Nah, they look all right, man. In a couple weeks, could be looking at them versus Tech.
That's going to be the
undefeated.
That's going to be a really big test for them. But
yeah. At the house?
At the house.
And that's helpful.
In front of the hose.
How do I top that? That's a perfect – I was just going to make mention of the fact that they've answered the questions as far as they can with the defense – or the defense that they've played amongst the offenses that they've played.
Yeah.
They'll get some challenges that are a different level that they still need to answer. But for right now, Willie Fritz doing what he's supposed to do in year 2 of this thing.
Yeah, yeah. I know you have some other stuff, but I was just looking at the other thing.
No, I just want to make mention of DJ Lagway versus LSU. That's one of the big names in the SEC of quarterbacks that we like. 5 interceptions, and it could have been something like 8. LSU is still DBU. Mm-hmm. Like, they still exist as that. This defense is really, really good, except they only scored 13 on offense, which makes it, that's the side of the football that they're hyped up on because Garrett Nussmeier is supposed to be really good. I still believe him to be that, but hey, LSU offense, let's see something different.
No, I agree. And just obviously, they've been a little bothered by some of the line of questioning about the offense as well.
And I like this precedent that was set in college football this weekend. Cincinnati absolutely BTA'd Northwestern State 70-0. The only reason I bring this up, they agreed to shorten the fourth quarter, both coaches and the refs, from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. I want to bring this out. Like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Woo-woo, let's run this thing
running
out.
Running clock.
Let's go ahead and
Why
10
we
minutes.
Can't do that all the time?
That's what I'm saying.
I've actually seen it before, and I can't remember exactly where, but I was like, good. It was one of those games, you know, and you're just like, good. Just come on.
Yeah.
It's just good.
And to be fair,
281,
I see you. I would like to shout out former Texas A&M quarterback, because they are all there, Haynes King.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a warrior. If you ask me, what does Haynes King do? I'd be like, battles.
Yeah.
Grit. Mm-hmm. Like, but he does it again. He does that and helps, obviously, Georgia Tech beat Clemson. All right. That's a little college football on a Tuesday. We still need to figure out how many good teams there are, because this week, even more so, put it up for us to look at some of the teams that we thought were good and go, huh, I don't know. We'll examine that at some point. But there you go. That's a little bit of college football on a Tuesday. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back to the Texans and talk a little bit more about what was a very frustrating loss. Maybe did you see any good things in this game? We'll talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.